All right, so welcome to this agency spotlight, and today I'm going to turn this spotlight on a little bit brighter because the guy we have today, I've known about him, watched what he's doing, and has been really impressed with the things that he's done and the way that he's been able to, a guy that really understands about modeling success without mimicking it. He does it his own way and is able to extract the real, the principles of marketing, the principles of doing authority, the principles of business in general. And he is really good at coloring outside the lines and kind of putting it in his own flavor and helping people in his own unique way. So today I'm thrilled to have Frank Felker. He is an agency member. He's the president of Digital Media Positioning, also host of Radio Free Enterprise. If you haven't checked that out, very, very good, incredible host, excellent host, as a matter of fact, for doing online for doing interviews in radio and podcasting type interviews, and is also runs Powerhouse Publishing. So he has his hands in a lot of different aspects of authority marketing. But I think today we're going to find out that sometimes less is more. And one of the big things you're going to get today from Frank is lessons learned. If there's one thing that you can take to the bank, there's the old saying of, need to learn from your mistakes, but it's far more powerful when you can learn from the mistakes of others. And with that, Frank, boy, is that an introduction to end that with let's learn from Frank's mistakes.
Thank you so much, Jack. I often say that we all learn best from our mistakes, and that's how I became an expert.
Well, and that's the thing, and you're not afraid or ashamed or hide the bumps and bruises that come along the way. But I think the one thing that people get out of that is that it's not insurmountable. It's always the ways to overcome things and to come out further ahead than you thought you would before. So let's start with that. You are in the business of helping people in business, right? And you've probably helped people from the extremes of they're barely scraping by, and it feels great to help those folks, to helping people that are farther along in their business, and you're helping them really get to that kind of cliched next level. If you had to put a scale between those, which ones do you think is the overall a better group or best for you, more profitable? It always feels good to help everyone, but how do the scales shift when you look at those extremes?
Yeah, that's a fact, isn't it? I really do enjoy helping people who are considering starting a business, or they're just starting a business, or they've been in business, but they're still scraping by after years. But as a business person myself, I have to go, where I can best get paid. And while I still do a number of things to help people who are a little farther down the food chain, one of the things I really like about agency is that I'm able to target successful people who, by definition, have some money, and they understand what is the value of branding and marketing, but they often just don't feel comfortable shining the spotlight on themselves and tooting their own horn. And yet they do see the value that authority positioning can bring. And another great benefit of working with these people is that these are some interesting people. These are engaged human beings. These are people with passion and who really have a broad view of life. And they're a heck of a lot of fun to work with, Jack. So that should not be ignored in terms of one of the benefits of having an authority agency.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that I think a lot of people find out once they get into this, that, they get into it thinking, with dollar signs, and then they realize, wow, there's a lot more to this not just the money that I make, but how much fun I have making the money and doing what I do. So you didn't jump right in this with just completely green in marketing. You've been helping businesses with marketing for several years and even, you know, ventured into authority positioning, if not for businesses, for yourself. Let's go back to that time. What did your business look like before you started applying authority marketing strategies?
You know, I was pretty much a standard SEO, local, offline marketing, building websites, doing email marketing. Also, I would do a certain amount of direct response and direct mail marketing because of my experience in the printing business. But that was it. I was, you know, pretty much your run-of-the-mill marketing, local marketing guy. I was a authorized local expert for Constant Contact for a period of time and did a lot of presentations for them. But pretty much your standard bill of fare.
So when did you started applying authority marketing? You probably did it before you even realized or called it authority marketing. But let's go back to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, how long have you been offering authority marketing kind of related services or the strategies that have been part of your business? And even if it was before you got into agency and you didn't actually attach that term or kind of quantify it or qualify it as authority marketing, but what were some of the elements that now you realize that you were doing that fall under that category?
Well, the answer actually goes in two divergent tracks chronologically. To answer your question about when I got involved with explicitly offering authority services, it's just about exactly a year ago, August or September of 2014. But I realized when I first saw this concept that I had been doing this myself years ago, starting like in the late 1980s. I was in the printing industry and I kind of wanted to, you know, become a recognized authority. It's literally, I knew that was what I wanted to do. So I started publishing a newsletter. At that time, printing was going through a digital revolution and transformation with the desktop publishing and all those types of things. I won't go into the minutiae of it, but it was a huge time of change. And I was an early adopter of the new technology and I wanted to have my voice heard. So I landed myself a monthly 2000 word column in the largest printing industry trade magazine. I started publishing my own newsletter, Digital Printing Trends, for 3 years. And I had subscribers around the world. Very early on, I was publishing an email newsletter. It was text only to people around the world as a support thing for my paid newsletter. I was doing speaking engagements across the country at printing conventions, and in fact was invited to speak in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Dusseldorf, Germany at digital printing events. And I actually did quite well with that up until just about 9/11. And that had a very chilling effect on, you know, conventions and a lot of different things. And the printing industry itself, because of this terrible transition, was just contracting severely, and it continues to. So it turned out that that was not a great area of expertise for me to pursue. But then we fast forward to, you know, about a year ago, a couple of years ago, and I started seeing things that you were talking about and other people were talking about. And I realized that, you know, I had done a lot of these things already. A couple of years beforehand, a friend of mine from college had heard my Radio Free Enterprise podcast and knew that he wanted to be a radio god in the area of residential real estate. And he hired me to get him on the radio, which I had absolutely no idea how I was going to do that. But I was like, sure, I can do that. And so I ended up having... I ended up producing 83-hour-long episodes of a live call-in radio show on residential real estate here in DC. But that was helping support him and his authority aspirations. So when I saw this as a potential service that I could offer, I was like, you know, I've written and self-published my own book. I've done radio, I've done video, I've done web, I've done press releases, I've done the speaking engagements, I've done all of these things. I can certainly help other people do those things themselves, and I know the value firsthand.
Well, and I think that's the that's the big part of this, is understanding the value. And I know we've talked about that, that a lot of people sometimes, you know, people that are new to agency, they come in and, you know, some of the first questions are, how much can I charge for this? How much can I charge for this? And it all goes back to the value. And, you know, how much can you charge per glass of water? Well, it depends on who's buying it. You know, is it the guy that just came off the desert, or is it, you know, someone that's got plenty of it? And it really is all about that value. And I think once people understand that, that's when it becomes much easier. So let's kind of talk about that. Is what is it that you think first helped you understand the value of authority marketing? And you know, I almost hesitate and wish we could have the word marketing taking off of that, because I think that's where a lot of people get sidetracked, is with the marketing piece. And it really is almost a completely different art and science. But let's just talk about the value of authority. You know, what was the first time that you, one, applied authority to yourself? You know, you talked about how you did that back in the, you know, through the days of your businesses, and now you recognize what you're doing. But when you made an effort, a very purposeful strategy that you put out, that I'm going to do authority positioning for myself, do you think that that's when you really understood the value, when you saw what it did for you and your business?
Yes. I had struck a chord with my focus on digital printing and digital technology in the printing industry. It was a great source of mystery and pain to the existing constituency of print shop owners. And I will tell you that I was speaking from a stage in Florida at a convention, and I was offering subscriptions, annual subscriptions to my newsletter for $197. It was once a month, 12 pages printed newsletter back in the day. And I had never done anything like that before, you know, the old back of the room type of sale. And I'm absolutely serious. I sold $14,000 worth of subscriptions at the end of that speech, and I would have sold a lot more, except I didn't have anybody back there except myself to take the orders. And it's simply because I had been introduced as an authority on the topic of digital printing technology and how to manage the transition in your shop. And apparently what I had to say was also well received. And I, whatever I said about come see me for a subscription resonated as well. So that was you didn't have to be a genius to see that that was a winner. And then when I published my book, my first book back in 2004, I saw the look, literally the look that would come over somebody's face when I would hand it to them. And I was still the same person that I was 2 seconds ago, but suddenly the way they perceived me was entirely different.
And that's only something that you can experience.
Yes.
You know, that you can't describe that as much as you try. And I think that's one of the things that, when people get to hand a client their first book, or that they get to let a client know that you are now officially a published author, and they get to see that look in their eyes too. So it's two different things. One, you're talking about the look that people get when all of a sudden their perception of you can almost witness their perception of you change in an instant when you handed them that book. So, you know, you go into that, and I want to make sure people, I want to frame it. That's kind of what we're talking about. The experience of I'm talking to Frank to, wow, now I'm talking to Frank, the author.
Yeah. I've got a great example of a client of mine. This is a guy I have known since college. He's ever since he saw that I published my book back in 2004, he's like, oh, I got a book. I'm like, yeah, everybody's got a book. Until you get it over the finish line, you got nothing. And so then after I started working authority agency and really coming back as a publisher and a publicist, I came back to him and I said, Steve, you know, you got to get that book out. And it's a book on investing that we recently ran a campaign on in agency. And he called me this morning, and I really had to literally just hold him down and slap him silly to get him to finish this book and then run the bestseller campaign. And he told me that he got a phone call from a guy he's known over 10 years who he just totally respects and believes that this guy is the top expert in this field as to do with the investing in microcap stocks. The guy called him unsolicited. My client Steve did not know that this guy had purchased his book on Kindle, had read it, and called him to tell him that this was the best book he'd ever seen on the topic, and he wished that he had known the things that Steve put across in this book 10 years ago when he first got into the business. And my guy Steve was beside himself with pride, and he was just ebullient. He was just overflowing with excitement. And the feeling that then transferred to me, it's making the hair on my arm stand up right now. I felt so great of having been able to help him achieve this, to be able to share his expertise and his mastery with a larger audience. And then somebody actually came along and patted him on the back and said, Steve, good job. And he'll never be the same. That was a life-altering experience for him.
And I think that is one of the things that is sometimes people miss in the benefits of authority marketing. What you just talked about had nothing to do with dollar signs.
No.
And the reward that your client got had nothing to do with dollar signs. And, you know, the benefit and the value that he received from what you did had nothing to do with dollar signs. I'm talking about that specific, you know, mm-hmm. feeling. Obviously, you know, that's what it leads to is in your business. But unlike SEO, did you ever get anybody, you get that feeling that when you told them they were on the front page of Google?
No, never was.
Did you ever get people that had that feeling, you know, when you said, hey, I changed the plugin on your website?
Yeah. Your postcard mailing just dropped. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so that's the difference in this, when people don't realize sometimes the currency that they get from this is not just in dollar signs, but just in the fact that you think, man, I have really done something that's made a measurable difference mm-hmm. in this person's, not just their business, their life, their confidence. It really is amazing when you sit back and soak it in. And sometimes you do have to step back and allow yourself to soak it in. Now, one of the things that you do is it's not just about publishing the book and say, hey, congratulations, it's done. You present them with their book, you present them with their award. Mm-hmm. And one, the feeling that you get to give them when they do that. But then, you know, we talked about before the benefits that you get from doing this thing that you really enjoy. Talk about the side effects and the extra benefits you get when you get to hand someone their award, hand someone their book.
Yes, it's an amazing thing. I will come to that specific story, but I want to mention one other thing that's related to that. Everything that we do for our clients, as we position them and put them on a pedestal and give them their props in the social media on Facebook and everywhere else, is implicitly reflected back upon us, that they almost invariably, their friends will say, how did you do that? How did you write a book? How did you make it a bestseller? How did you do it? And they always, of course, then it comes back to you implicitly. And also everybody, whenever I tag one of my clients and say, congratulations, obviously, everybody that's in my group of friends sees this and they know what I do and they know here's another success story. One thing I definitely learned in recent months is it's not necessary for me to put myself in the photograph for everybody to get the point that this is another wonderful thing that I was able to make happen. So I want to express that I get the value. I get it every time I say or do anything great for one of my clients. It benefits me at least equally. And it's better if I don't include my name in it. But I think the story that you're relating to or referring to, Jack, is I had a client who we did a bestseller campaign for. And I did a lot in addition to that for, but we don't have time to go through the whole thing. But she had achieved the bestseller status And it was time to do a presentation of her award. And this is something I'd learned from the masters in agency that, in particular, T.C. Bradley, that this is a wonderful additional opportunity to bring value to your clients, to recognize them in front of their peers and get allow them to get an ovation from their friends and family and coworkers. And so I was able to do that for this lady who was the author of this book in front of a room of about 75 people in the middle of a presentation that was being given by a very successful medical professional, chiropractor who had flown in from Minneapolis. And he was so impressed with the adulation that she received and the beautiful award that I had given her and the words that I had spoken about her and her achievement that he grabbed me afterwards and said, give me your card. I want to work with you. And in fact, less than an hour from right this minute, he and I are having our initial planning meeting, and he's going to be hiring me on a retainer basis for a very nice monthly retainer going into the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and that's and it just for it to fall into place like that. It's something that, man, you got to be lucky. You got to be got to be Frank Felker for that to happen, right? So, but let's talk about what it is to be Frank Felker, because so you said you started an agency. It's been about a year now, right? Mm-hmm. And when you got an agency, what was the first thing that you did that you actually said, you know what, I'm going to sell something as authority marketing, and this is how I'm defining it. I'm going to you know, I understand that, these are the parameters I'm setting. I'm going to offer authority marketing service. What did that look like when you actually defined it as that? And here's what I'm going to do.
I went at it a little bit differently than that because I have been in business for so many, many, many years and have tried new things so many times that I actually sort of have a methodology that surrounds trying a new business. And so the first thing I did in this case was I took one of my existing books and ran a bestseller campaign on it. And I did it for two reasons. One was to prove to myself that it will work. And I got three number one rankings. So I was like, well, that worked. But another part of it was I learned how to run a bestseller campaign without there being the risk on the line of me not coming through for somebody who had paid me a bunch of money. So that took some pressure off of me. The next thing I did was, again, I did something at no charge. You may remember the guy, the dog trainer, the What Your Dog Is Trying to Tell You book that we ran a bestseller on. I did that at no charge for him. He was a friend of mine. Again, because in this case, we did it from scratch. We did the interview, turned it into a Kindle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I had already had the previous book as a Kindle, and I was just kind of walking through the process. Again, it worked. And again, I did all kinds of publicity around it. And then that brought people to me. And so what I've been doing primarily in terms of for revenue has revolved around publishing and the bestseller campaigns. I also, just because of my experience, have been doing some media training and some public speaking coaching. I've also written and distributed a number of press releases, but most of the revenue that I have brought in has revolved around publishing.
Right, and so, you know, you bring up an interesting point because there's, you know, a couple of different schools of thought, don't do anything for free. And I do agree with that as long as you have the confidence to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just talked about was you investing in developing that confidence, because confidence is a tremendously powerful attribute to have.
It's perhaps the most key element in this particular business.
And so what did that do to you? One, running a bestseller on yourself. Two, helping someone and going through the process, because it kind of was learning your trade, as you would. And it's, you know, getting a guinea pig as you learned your trade. And so some folks may say, oh, you know, doing it for free. You can't do this stuff for free. But really, what did you gain from that? If we had to, you know, quantify that, what do you think you gained from one, generating that confidence and understanding the trade and the steps that it took to make something like that happen?
I just finished reading a book called Mastery. that's about that very topic of, you know, how do you become a master at a given trade or musical instrument or you name it. And the guy gives a lot of stories about people like Mozart and Einstein and a lot of other people that we assume were born masters. But in fact, we're not. Now, they certainly were born with certain attributes and eccentricities that led them into a given field. But if it weren't for the fact that they buckled down and studied for hours, you know, the 10,000 hour rule in many cases. Einstein, when he was working at the patent office, read and studied and studied and studied. And people don't know about that. And the Beatles in Hamburg playing, you know, countless gigs, getting their harmony straight and that kind of thing. My point is this: I didn't know anything about running a bestseller campaign or doing almost most of the things that I now charge people for. I had done them here or there or everywhere throughout my career. But even the areas where I had experience in, Jack, let's face it, there was a time when I had never done that before. I'll never forget the first time we were live in a radio studio and the engineer, the red light goes on, says, on the air. And the engineer points in my face, points his finger and says, you're on. I was scared to death. My heart was about to come up out of my throat. But the only way I was ever going to develop any mastery as a radio host was by doing that, by having the guts to stick my nose out and get it bloodied a few times. They say, you know, dare to be great. I say dare to suck. That's the real trick, is to dare to suck out loud. So I, in any event, I would say that what I was doing there was paying my dues. I believe that for me now, and I do it, to tell somebody, yeah, that I can do that for you, it's going to be $25,000. In order for me to feel absolutely confident and look somebody in the eyes and say that without my voice wavering, required for me personally to have the confidence of having seen myself achieve those results in the past, possibly for free or at a lower price. But then I know that I can produce those results again. And I also know that the value is well in excess of $25,000, irrespective of whatever I charged for it last time. So there's two different parts of it. What it costs you to produce a given result versus what the value is are not in alignment with each other, and they don't necessarily have any association with each other. So that's what it did for me, was it gave me that confidence, but it also gave me the skills that I could, you know, on a dime, I can make this happen for you. Absolutely. No problem. This is how much it's going to be.
Yeah. And I've always said there's a huge, huge gap between I'm going to do it to I've done it. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we try to do in agency is to at least lower, if not remove, the barrier to entry to do this. Because let's face it, you published your first book in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of cost went around doing that in time and, you know, understanding how to put it all together and doing that?
I don't know. I couldn't put a dollar figure on it. But again, it was, I had been in the printing industry for over 25 years, so I knew how to get a book printed. But there's a big difference between printing and publishing.
And news releases. So one of the things that, you know, that's another thing is that agents, they kind of used to, you know, $29, you know, or wholesale pricing news releases. And that's a very pretty low barrier to entry to be able to do that. I know when I first started doing it as an authority piece and Brian was doing it, news releases cost us close to $400 to put out a news release that hit all those stations. So it wasn't, it cost a lot more to get that confidence.
Yeah, right. It cost you more to break your nose back then than it does today.
Yeah. And so it's easy to put that out and with very little to lose to make that happen. So would you suggest that if someone's just getting started with this, that if they're looking around, where do I start? Would you say, well, start with yourself?
Absolutely.
You know, and I guess one of the things in agency is, you know, besides going out and trying to figure this out, you could put yourself into a local marketing trendsetters book. And it's all kind of wrapped up for you to expedite that. But would you say you start with creating some authority for yourself so you can experience it and understand what that value is?
Yes, absolutely. And again, do it from the standpoint of learning your trade, learning your craft. Don't do it just sort of haphazardly, occasionally getting a speaking engagement somewhere or thinking about writing a chapter for one of the books, or, you know, go for it. This is a tremendous business opportunity that we have here, people. I mean, whatever it is, at any point in the future that somebody's listening to this, that the subscription or membership cost is for Authority Agency, the value of it is many, many times greater than that. So it's a question of how you will leverage it. You can certainly leverage it for yourself, but in terms of learning, for me, everybody learns differently. I learned more rapidly by leveraging it for free for people close to me who had a story to tell. First off, I would choose people who have a great story to tell. For example, my guy, the dog trainer, he just has a tremendous way with dogs. But I learned one thing about why he was not a good candidate for a free service. And this is something you should look for in somebody you offer to. He does not do a good job of accelerating or continuing the momentum of the publicity that I've gotten for him. Everything that I did would just kind of hit the wall and stay there, and then that was it. So I didn't get the additional follow-on value or the reflected glory of everything that I had done for him. There are a couple of people who, believe it or not, I offered free services to who just never got around to holding up their end of the deal. Clearly, those would not be good people to do that type of thing for. But I would also recommend that you start with just one of the skill sets, like publishing, like a bestseller campaign, like news releases, radio hosting, whatever you gravitate to the most quickly. Start with that and master one thing at a time before you try to move on to the next. There are so much value and so many resources available in agency that it's impossible to take it all on at once. I would also suggest that people give unconditionally, give to your services, perhaps to nonprofits or to a charity or to somebody who you could really bring a lot of value to with a small amount of effort. You'll get a great feeling from it, and you also never know where that's going to lead to. I may have an announcement. I don't want to speak to it right now, but I did just that with a press release I sent out yesterday that could end up being one of the biggest things you ever heard of. But I'll just wait and see, because I'm not quite sure what's happening with that yet. But you just never know. And certainly, if nothing else, you helped people, and that helps you feel better. So there's just a lot you can do.
Well, and so that right there is a mouthful. And I want to make sure that we hit on that a little more, because there is a lot of things. And some people think that they got to get in there and they got to figure out everything. They got to do everything that there is. And it's not. And, I talked about the analogy I used before we started, as we were talking about the recipes and the ingredients. We have a lot of authority ingredients in agency, but there's several different recipes that you can put together, and those recipes don't have to be a goulash of every single thing they have. And so you are certainly one that doesn't miss an opportunity. Right. So you've done speaking, you host your show, you've done, you do publishing, you do news releases, and you've kind of experienced all of that. But you talked about now how you kind of have focused in on publishing, or that's kind of where your sweet spot is. So let's go a little bit deeper. If someone is just starting and they see all this different things, do I do the citizen journalism? Do I do news releases? Do I do book publishing, bestseller campaigns? Should I, host a, business innovators radio or my own show? Let's start there. And would you have a very solid recommendation of definitely don't get and put your fingers in everything?
Oh, absolutely. Go with one thing at a time, and go with, if you feel like, as you were saying, I've had a wide experience, but that was over the course of 40 hard won years of, trying new things and stubbing my toe time and time again. So even if you feel as though there's no one particular of these areas that you have more experience in than others, go to the one that your heart draws you to. Which one do you feel the best about that you just gravitate to, that you, even without experience or necessarily talent in that area, you just love it? I would recommend that you go with that. And because that love of what you're doing will help you get through the tough times and get you over the tough obstacles. And then once you have found, you know, that, wow, this wasn't that hard at all, it's just like Jack said, I can do this, then you may find that that, although is where your heart is, it may not be where the most money is. One of the reasons why I'm gravitating back towards publishing is because so many of the things that I've learned in agency have shown me that there's a tremendous profit opportunity in publishing, particularly in the multi-author book arena. And so that's an area I'm going in. I'll give a perfect example. Sure, I've published my own book. I've published other people's books. I've never published a multi-author book before, and I feel a little gishy about it, to tell you the truth. I can see a lot of places where that's going to be a very complicated task, but I'm going to try it, and I'm going to learn how to do it, and I'm going to master it. And if I can get that figured out, you don't have to publish too many multi-author books a year to be making a very comfortable living.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to leverage it and still, you know, make it affordable for the people that you're doing this with. And I obviously love the multi-author book model, you know, myself for sure. You talk about stubbing toes and, you know, one of the things that, you know, and you talk about give, you know, unconditionally, I think is the word you used in agency. There's a lot of support in agency and there's a lot of people at different areas. There's people that are just, I mean, doing incredibly well in their business. There's people that are struggling, you know, with a lot of what ifs, you know, trying to figure out the, you know, the fulfillment. And I think one of the biggest cures for what ifs is sell something, and you'll make sure that you you figure out how to do it once you sell it. A lot of people spend a lot of time getting ready to get ready.
Yeah. Right?
And I got to know how to do all this stuff before I sell it. And what happens is, and maybe you can, concur with this, is that you're never going to feel 100% ready, that you have it down pat. Right. So would you say that selling it is probably the best cure to learn figuring out how to do it?
Yeah, I take it what you mean is because once you sold it, you got no choice. You got to do it. You've just burned the ships on the beach. Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And then you will find a way to get it done because, you know, you didn't find your way into agency by accident. You've got a lot on the ball. You came here because you saw the opportunity. You, the mere fact that you understood what was being talked about and saw the opportunity means that you are one of the sharper knives in the drawer. Go out there, commit yourself to getting a particular project done and do it. And then once you get to the other side, you'll be like, wow, I really could do that. And it makes it so much easier to try the next thing.
And I think that's the benefit of being able to see week after week bestseller campaigns, you know, week after week, people, their successes, because it's not a myth. It's not you're sitting there alone thinking in theory, this sounds like it will work. You actually witness it working, you know, week after week, day after day. So you should have the confidence to know that you're here with a group of people that are going to get you through those obstacles. When you first came into agency, I remember you were really excited. The first deal you sold, I forgot, it was a multi-$1,000 deal that you came in and you were really excited about it. Talk about that, because I like to get in the good, bad, and ugly with this and talk about, this is one of those, you know, stub your toe moments. Yeah. And then how you got past that.
Well, I had a deal with a guy who was going to do a book from scratch, a Kindle book, and then turn it into a bestseller. And I just kind of pulled a figure out of my ear, $2,500. Guy's like, great, that's great, let's do it. And so then I went ahead and posted something in the agency Facebook group about it. And boy, the ink wasn't even dry on the page of that posting by the time the guy emailed me and told me he was getting cold feet and he's going to have to budget it for next month and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it ended up never happening. You know, of course, I was disappointed about that. And I thought, and I'd already spent the money in my mind, you know, those chickens, I was counting them before they'd hatched. And but I just kept powering forward. And the next thing you know, I landed a deal with somebody entirely different for $4,500 who came across with a check very quickly. And so that was real money. And that person ended up, she was excited from the first, she was excited to give me that check, I'm telling you. And she has, one of the greatest things I love about this business is I am making people feel good, and I'm making them feel good about themselves. And I wonder if there's any higher calling or any higher desire that any human being has other than to feel better about themselves. And, you know, if you can offer that as a service, goodness, that's, you know, what a blessing that is.
Yeah, well, that is. And the fact that, you know, you recognize that you took that first, you know, disappointment of the guy falling through, but kind of you got to experience that. And then, of course, the next one coming through at you know, almost double what that money is. There's lots of people out there to work with that need this, and not just need it, but that want what it is that we have. And I think one of the things that people have to learn how to do early on is to ignore the people that don't need it or want it or don't get it.
Exactly. There's a lot of people who just kind of look at me like I've got two heads when I try to explain what I'm doing. As soon as I see that, I just, you know, thank you very much, shake their hand and move on.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we stress early on is you should never try to convince anyone they need this, because there's way too many people out there that get it. Just like the guy that saw you at the presentation that just came up to you afterwards said, "I, you know, let's do this." And those are the best kind of clients you can get. And there's plenty of them out there.
And I would like to just add to that, Jack, that's one of the reasons why it's so critical that you persist and not give up, because the longer you're doing this and the more people hear about what you're doing and the more the results you generate that they see, the more likely that light bulb is to go on in their head. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, that would be good for me. What's that guy's number again?" And but it does require that you persist with it. And as I say, I really sense that as I've crossed the 12-month threshold here, there's been a sea change in terms of the energy flow coming my way rather than me constantly needing to sort of toot my own horn. It's like now people are getting it. Now my phone is ringing.
Well, let's throw some of that energy your way now as well and talk about what you are doing now in the authority realm, which it sounds like quite a bit different or more than you may have been doing a year or so ago. And you're a guy that gets out there and does it. You know, a lot of people have ideas and they let those ideas grow and expand, but never come to fruition. But you've done things that, and believe me, in my line of work, I've heard people talk a lot about what they're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. But I've seen you do this. I've seen you put out your own Udemy course. I've seen you, you know, put together your own the Radio Free Enterprise. Talk about the things that you're doing now that are, you know, kind of simultaneously building your authority, but also they're also kind of conduits for bringing in clients and helping them build their authority as well.
Sure. The Udemy thing is, Udemy is the world's largest online learning marketplace. They now have 8 million registered students. And by the end of the year, they project to have 10 million. By the end of next year, they project to have 20 million. So I very soon will have 7,000 students around the world who are enrolled in one of my three courses there. And I just feel great about that. Radio Free Enterprise is a podcast targeted at current and prospective business owners. I bring stories, success stories of small business owners. I talk about women business owners. I talk about veteran business owners, family businesses, growth businesses of the type that are funded by venture capitalists. I talk about neat new ideas that are coming down the way. But I found that there was a whole area that I couldn't cover with that. So I've created a second podcast, which was what I needed in my life, was another podcast that's called Creative Living Radio. And it's about everything else: travel, new age medicine, technology, entertainment, anything you could imagine, just about anything you'd see at a TED Talk I talk to people about on Creative Living Radio. I'm publishing with Powerhouse Publishing. I don't really currently have any specific focus or subject matter area with Powerhouse Publishing, but it is a love of mine to write and to publish. And actually, Jack, I'm going to put this out there so it's out to the universe. What I hope to do in 2016, in fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin traveling the globe interviewing entrepreneurs for Radio Free Enterprise. And what I hope to do is just exactly the kind of thing we're doing right now, which is trying to demonstrate to people that they themselves can do this. They can replicate the success of others. I believe by showing that across all cultures, all geography, all obstacles, entrepreneurship powers through. It's like a life force, like a blade of grass coming up through a crack in the sidewalk. It cannot be stopped. That's my goal with this idea of traveling around not just the country, but the world, interviewing entrepreneurs and bringing their story to other people who want to hear it through podcasting.
Yeah. And you know, the tremendous thing is when you put those things in motion, serendipity steps in so often, and you figure out ways to monetize stuff that you never conceived before, or in a completely different way that you had imagined that you would be able to do that. And you know, I often talk about the you know shoot the arrow, and if you miss the target, just paint the target around, you know, put the bullseye around it afterwards. And I think you've done that pretty well on a couple of things, and learn how to recognize those. Do you have any, you know, other advice? And you've given a tremendous amount of advice of for people, new people that are getting started in authority marketing, and just, you know, that first kind of period of overwhelm, perhaps, and, you know, what they could do, should do, or you know, lessons learned that you could offer to help them get through that.
The number one thing I think you need to do is let go of fear. Fear is the number one thing that holds us back. I often say that the biggest challenge we as human beings have in this life is getting the heck out of our own way. And the thing we do to get in our own way is we're afraid of something. And almost invariably, whatever that something is not nearly as bad as the fear of it was. So there are a couple of ways that you can do that. One is by focus. Focus on one specific area, just like we talked about. Pick the citizen journalist, pick the radio host, pick the whichever one it is, and determine that you're going to be a master at it and that nothing's going to stop you. And the second part of that, it rolls right into it, is persist. Don't give up. No matter what you do, never give up. As soon as you give up, you have failed. If you never give up, you never fail. It's as simple as that. And, you know, we can talk about Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Edison, whoever you'd like. But if you put a name to whatever that devil is that's vexing you, the devil with a name always has less power than the nameless devil, then focus on a particular thing and insist that you will keep going and can never be stopped. That's exactly what will happen. You cannot be stopped. The power of a human being to achieve anything their mind can conceive is undeniable.
Fantastic. So how can folks find out more about you? Get your website. Let's go ahead and spell those out for them so we can make sure that they can take a look at what Frank Felker is up to.
You can go to digitalmediapositioning.com. That's my authority agency-oriented website. If you go to thecustomerfactory.com, it will redirect you to my course on Udemy called How to Build a Customer Factory. It's, you know, just for informational purposes there. I'm not trying to get you to buy the course. There are two or three free videos you can watch there without having to sign up or do anything else. You go to radiofreeenterprise.com to listen to podcast interviews that I'm doing there. That will, the reason that is not currently on iTunes is I'm doing the whole iTunes launch that I'm going to do to try to get as much leverage from that. You know, you can reach me on Facebook through the authority agency group. And also, I'm happy to become direct Facebook friends with you. Just send me a friend request and we'll connect right up.
Well, fantastic. And I got to point out, I can't believe we didn't even get to talk about this, but the Customer Factory, that's been one of my favorite brands that I've seen that you came up with. I absolutely love that branding, the Customer Factory. So
you know, I put that in there. I'm sorry, I know we're at the end, but this is something people should think about. What I've learned from agency, and you know, I'm going to take that course. It's about 10 hours long. I'm converting all of that into text, editing the text. It's going to end up about a 50,000 word book, which is going to be How to Build a Customer Factory. That's, of course, going to become a bestseller. And then I'm going to start promoting the book and the course and speeches and boot camps and everything else all around that. And that will be my primary authority positioning that I'm going to do for myself.
Yeah, and that'll be a huge, that's such a great hook to get interviews around, you know, to do more and more interviews around mm-hmm. that. So yeah, I look forward to seeing that. I can't wait to see you get that out there. Content's there. It's just a matter of rearranging it, like we talk about, you know, yeah. In agency. Well, Frank, I got to thank you for sharing this and, you know, the sharing you do in the group. And, you know, I think you are definitely a prime example of what you talk about, you know, unconditional, you give back, you help folks. And, it really is a great to watch what you do and how you do things. So thanks for sharing that and being part of agency.
Thank you, Jack. As you know, I often thank you directly and personally for everything that you have brought into my life and most recently through agency. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today on this podcast.
All right. Fantastic. Folks, there you have it. Another agency spotlight. And until the next one, like I always say, you are the only real game changer.